This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And we'll start today with a huge win for the New England Patriots and Tom Brady a week before their season starts. For Pats fans, it's like winning another Super Bowl. The big news, a federal judge in New York dealt the NFL and Commissioner Roger Goodell a major blow, overturning Brady's four-game suspension for his alleged role in Deflategate. The NFL had charged that Brady was at least generally aware of a scheme to underinflate footballs in the AFC Championship game last January. But Judge Richard Berman said the league could not suspend Brady for general awareness of other people's conduct, and he identified a number of other legal deficiencies in the league's case. Patriots fans, like Fenway Park employee Mike Ricciuti, applauded the decision.
You know, he always seemed clear that he was oblivious to what was going on, and today his suspension got nullified, as was deserved. He did nothing wrong. He deserves to be playing a week from tonight, and he will. So all Patriots fans should be glad about that.
And probably many are. The NFL says it will appeal the ruling, but for now Tom Brady can suit up and play the season opener against the Steelers next Thursday. So it's a big win for the Patriots. And let's turn first to attorney Jeffrey Kessler, who represents Tom Brady, and he joins us from New York. And attorney Kessler, good to have you.
Good afternoon.
So what's your reaction to this ruling, which I think caught a lot of people by surprise? Were you surprised?
I was not surprised. We believed from day one that Tom Brady was the victim in this, that the procedures and processes of the NFL employed here were wrong. And most importantly, the victory here is not just for Tom Brady and Patriots fans, although I know there are many Patriots fans who are quite happy. But this is a win for all NFL players. Because what it establishes is what the union has always contended, that nobody is given the commissioner the license to ignore the law.
Well, what was the key? It's pretty unusual, Mr. Kessler, for a judge to overturn an arbitration ruling. So I'm wondering, you know, what was the key argument that won the day?
Well, there were two grounds that Judge Berman identified. One was the complete lack of notice that any players had, either about ball pressure, being suspended for being generally aware, allegedly, that somebody else did something, anything involving this at all. They just made up the notice. Second, and perhaps more profoundly, the judge found the proceedings were fundamentally unfair. The commissioner never intended to give Tom Brady a fair chance to prove his innocence, and he was innocent. And that's not being an arbitrator. When you assume the role of the arbitrator, you have to provide a fundamentally fair hearing.
Judge Berman said that Commissioner Goodell dispensed his own brand of industrial justice, is the way Judge Berman put it. How do you think this ruling reflects on the NFL and on Roger Goodell, the commissioner?
What the message of this ruling to the NFL, I believe, is that they should sit down with the Players Association, like all the other leagues have, and negotiate a fair disciplinary process in these situations with a neutral arbitrator. When such a proceeding is put into place, you never hear about court cases about this. You will never read about this, you know, in the sports pages day after day, because you'll have a process that both sides respect and can stand behind. We hope the NFL is getting that message, and that that's where this will eventually go.
Have you spoken to Tom Brady? And if so, what's his reaction?
I don't want to speak for Tom. But I have been in contact with him. What I could say is, you can imagine, he is delighted to be on the field for opening night. You know, Tom's focus from the beginning has been he wants to win for his team another Super Bowl. He wants to be on that field, and that's what he wants to focus on.
Right.
And I think he is very happy that he got a fair hearing before Judge Berman, and now he can go do what he does best.
Let me ask you, though, about sort of the full impact of this ruling. I mean, Judge Berman's decision was very much based on the way Roger Goodell and the NFL operated, as opposed to the question of did Tom Brady know about a scheme to deflate football? And there are still issues out there that reflect perhaps badly on Tom Brady, destroying a cell phone, for example. So how far does this decision go in salvaging Brady's reputation, in your view?
I think it's an outrage that anyone would even talk about Tom Brady's reputation in this context in a negative way. The whole premise of the Wells report was flawed in so many fundamental respects. I think if you read the transcript of the judge's views about that, it was clear this judge agreed with that. It is correct that the legal basis of overturning an arbitration has to be a legal basis. You don't get to review the facts. But I think any neutral observer, and I emphasize the word neutral, who would look at these facts and this record, as Judge Berman did, would conclude that there was never any evidence that Tom Brady did anything wrong in this matter, period. Mm.
Well, can I ask you about the broader question about the way the Patriots reacted to this? I mean, what about the question as to why Patriots owner Robert Kraft initially accepted the league's punishment? I mean, doesn't that look like a team that knew? Yeah, go ahead.
I can't speak for that, but I'll give you my own psychoanalysis of it.
Sure.
Maybe Bob Kraft is listening. Okay. I think by nature, Bob Kraft views himself as somebody who is extremely loyal to the league. And I think in his own mind, as much as he disagreed with the ruling, and as much as he was personally upset by the ruling, he felt that challenging the league further was going to put him in a maverick position, much like, let's say, an Al Davis. And I think that view of himself was inconsistent with him pursuing that. And that just is my own read of Bob Kraft as an individual. I think he felt that he was sacrificing for the good of the league. And then, by the way, when he saw what happened to Tom, I think he changed his mind about that.
Mm.
But I never thought it was an admission of guilt. In fact, it was the opposite. When he agreed to accept the penalty, it was after they put out on their website a blow-by-blow response to the Wells report. So I don't think Bob Kraft ever accepted what the allegations were, but he also viewed himself as somebody who was going to do what he thought was going to be best for the league. And that at least is my view, but I'm sure he can speak and will speak for himself about that at some point.
Sure. Jeffrey Kessler, I know we have to let you go. I just have one more question. Commissioner Roger Goodell put out a statement, and among other things, he said they're going to appeal today's ruling. They disagree with the ruling, and the statement says the commissioner's responsibility to secure the competitive fairness of our game is a paramount principle in the league, and our 32 clubs will continue to pursue a path to that end. So the NFL is appealing. How are you preparing for the appeal?
We'll see what type of briefs they file, and we will respond. I think we know all of their arguments. They've made them all to Judge Berman, and they were rejected. They're going to make the same arguments on appeal, and we believe they'll be rejected again.
All right. Well, that's Jeffrey Kessler. He's a New York antitrust and sports attorney, and he represents Tom Brady in this case. Mr. Kessler, thank you so much for speaking with us. We're very grateful.
It was my pleasure.
All right. Now, listeners, we're going to be hearing from at least two or three different perspectives on this surprising decisions today. We want to hear from you as well. Are you surprised by Judge Berman's decision in favor of Tom Brady? Do you think the judge got it right? Give us a call with your comments, your questions at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And I want to turn to Shira Springer. She's a sports reporter with the Boston Globe here in the studio. And Shira, good to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So what's your reaction to this decision? Let me ask you first. Were you surprised?
I was a little bit surprised because it's always hard to take on the NFL. I mean, they are the big power in sports, and they seem to get things to go their way. They certainly were confident enough not to take a deal, so you always had to wonder, well, maybe they knew something that wasn't leaking out. I was surprised it went so not only in favor in terms of the suspension, but the wording that Judge Berman used in his ruling was so strongly in favor of Brady and so strongly against basically the arrogant attitude of the NFL in handling this situation.
Well, let's talk about some of that language because I was struck by that as well. I mentioned that to Attorney Kessler. Judge Berman said Commissioner Goodell dispensed his own brand of industrial justice.
Love that phrase.
And what did he mean exactly by that? I mean, sort of drill down into that phrase. What was the judge getting at?
I think he was getting at the fact that Roger Goodell feels that he can always be judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to any matter before him, that he operates in a vacuum, that he doesn't have to pay attention to the law. And as Jeffrey Kessler mentioned, you know, the commissioner doesn't have the license to ignore the law, but the NFL has acted like he can ignore the law, that he can do whatever he wants, and he can do it arbitrarily. The punishments never seem to, you're never quite sure what you're going to get with the punishments. And I think he was referencing that.
Mm. And Shira, what do you think the sort of impact of this is? I mean, you know, we're talking about one case, it's been in the news a lot, it's a, you know, and the focus has been on ball pressure and did he or didn't he and what did he know and what didn't he know and why did he destroy his cell phone, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes it seemed like sort of an absurd story, but now it seems like the NFL in a way has been put on notice in a kind of serious way that, I don't know, might lead to examination of other issues. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. To me, yes, on one hand, it was about the inflation and PSI and all the ball inflation issues. But really, the real issue here was the power that the NFL wields, the power that Roger Goodell wields, and the arrogance with which he wields that power. And I think he was put on notice. I think the league was put on notice. You can't behave the way you're behaving. You can't hand out punishments like this. There is due process. You owe your players more. You owe not only Tom Brady, but everyone down the line. I think you're already going to start seeing players. I know that Greg Hardy is looking to possibly appeal for a further reduction of his suspension for related to sexual assault on a woman. It was first reduced from 10 games to 4 games, and now he's looking to get that further reduced. I also think this may trickle across to other sports entities like an IAAF, the governing body of track and field, and perhaps FIFA. These large sports organizations have a tendency to promote their sports, to police their sports, and to handle all the organizational aspects of their sports. And I'm beginning to wonder if there's going to be some independent policing of these large sports entities, because I think we're seeing across the board that the NFL, that FIFA, and other large sports organizations simply can't be trusted to do it on their own and do it well.
Mm. Well, let's bring in another voice and get a little more legal analysis on this. We're joined by David Cornwell. He's an Atlanta sports attorney. He has representative NFL players and served as legal counsel to the NFL. And David Cornwell, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Interesting day today, interesting story. What's your quick reaction, your top-line reaction to this decision?
A couple of things, frankly. One, the judge obviously recognizes the importance of the collectively bargained authority that the commissioner has. But what he didn't like is the way that the commissioner exercised that authority. And very importantly to the judge, the issue of notice, that even if there was a violation that went to the integrity of the game, none of the NFL policies advised players that they could suffer the same discipline for this type of violation that they could for a steroid policy violation. So as, you know, impactful as this appears to be in the media and in the context of prior disciplinary rulings, I do think that there are some things that the NFL can do that would get its process in line with the expectations of the judiciary. Mm. Now, whether or not it also gets in line with the expectations of the union is a different issue. Mm.
So what would those things be? What are you referring to specifically?
Well, for example, on the issue of notice, listen, you cannot anticipate every act that would ultimately be a challenge to the integrity of the game. Cheating is obviously one, though. So I could see a system or a list of disciplinary levels being announced by the NFL for integrity of the game violations. You are subject to 4-game suspension up to indefinite banishment from the league. For failure to cooperate with league investigations, you are subject to a fine or suspension at the commissioner's discretion. If that list existed before the Brady case, we would have a different result here.
Hmm, interesting. Now, the NFL says it will appeal. We don't know specifically on what grounds yet. Do you have any idea what their case could be or what new information or new arguments they might bring forward?
I don't think that it will be new. It won't be any new information and not likely to be any new arguments. It may be arguments reframed. For example, the judge repeatedly said that Tom was not on notice, that he could be punished for being generally aware of others' misconduct. Mm. So the NFL likely will recast that argument to say, no, he was punished. His general awareness was evidence of his own misconduct, because the conclusion was that the employees would have never altered the ball without Tom's approval. Secondly, the judge said that there was no basis to equate a violation of this type with a steroid policy violation, and players were not on notice of such a comparable. I think the NFL is likely to say, well, the character of the cheating doesn't matter. What matters is the fact of the cheating. Mm. So I don't think there'll be new arguments. They may be recast. But the point that the NFL will make is that the judge exceeded his authority under the Federal Arbitrations Act.
Well, David Cornwell and Sheriff Springer, stand by. I want to bring in some callers. We've got a bunch of folks who want to get in on this conversation. Listeners, if you've been following this, we're talking about Judge Berman's decision, which basically rebuked the NFL today and threw out Tom Brady's 4-game suspension for his supposed role in a scheme to deflate footballs. What do you make of this decision? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Framingham. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I am shocked that the NFL even threw out an appeal, because in the beginning, there was no evidence. And the judge asked them the first time they were in court 3 times, show me the evidence against Tom Brady, and there weren't any. And now it looks like Roger is just plummeting down, and I wouldn't be surprised at some time in the near future that he loses his job. I think it's got to his head, and I don't see why they appealed. I don't think anything's going to come of this.
All right. Well, Mike, 2 points there. I want to go to Shira first. The effect, the impact that this could have, will have, might have on Roger Goodell. What do you think?
I think he may very well lose his job. I mean, this is not the first time one of his decisions has been overturned. And he speaks a lot about protecting the shield, that is the NFL shield. But you have to wonder, by pursuing an appeal in this case and potentially having this appeals process drag on for a year, 2 years, 3 years, how much damage that does to the NFL shield and the image of the NFL. You know, I think the smart move, and let's be honest, the NFL rarely makes the smart move in cases like this, or at least hasn't recently, would be just to say, you know what, we lost, let's move on, let's come up with a better policy, let's figure out how we can do this system of discipline better when things like what happened with Deflategate happen.
Mm. David Cornwell, I mean, speak to Mike's question. I mean, if you were advising the NFL in this instance, would you say absolutely go forward with the appeal, or do you think Shearer is right?
No, you have to go forward with the appeal. when I heard Framingham, I have to tell you, I played basketball at Tufts University.
All right.
Yeah, but when I heard you have to appeal because of the institutional significance of the ruling, the long-term impact of having a ruling out there that upsets a commissioner arbitration award is significant. And you have to understand, it takes a special person to be commissioner of a league. It takes a person that can take the type of criticism that Mike made and not make decisions to protect himself, but still to protect the integrity of the game. And the right move is to appeal this, even though it may prolong the criticism of Commissioner Goodell in the way that he does his job. But I do think that we need to get it off the front pages, move on, let football become football again. And the NFL has some work to do internally to ensure that when the commissioner exercises his authority, he does it in a way that doesn't result in what we've seen with respect to numerous other past decisions. I think they'll get there because Roger has demonstrated repeatedly he'll get it right. He has a commitment to getting it right. He'll do it here as well.
Just this note, and Shira, actually, I want to sort of talk to you about this because there's sort of some local reaction that's worthy of noting here, and we should talk about how this story has been trending, for example, on Boston.com. Several outlets are reporting that the owner of a Maine Dunkin' Donuts store has put up a sign that says, Judge Richard Berman gets free coffee for life.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's going to go beyond that. I think Judge Berman is now the leading candidate for Boston Person of the Year, even though he's not a local. I anticipate
key to the city.
Yeah, key to the city. Jeffrey Kessler may be in there for key to the city, too. I'm actually waiting for an announcement from the mayor's office about when the duck boat parade is for this victory.
But you've been seeing, you've been sort of tracking the way these stories have been trending, right?
Yes. Seven of the top 10 trending stories, most popular stories on BostonGlobe.com are all Brady related. And I don't think that will let up for another 3 or 4 days. It may not even let up until they play their opening game.
All right, let's go. Go ahead. Go ahead, David.
Say, I'm in Atlanta, and somebody texted me a picture of that marquee in front of the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's making its rounds.
Well, David, actually, I'd love to ask you this. I mean, sort of not so much as your lawyer perspective, but just as someone from elsewhere in the country, because we've been hearing a lot and reporting a lot that sort of everyone in and around New England thinks Tom Brady's innocent. Everywhere else in football land outside of this region, knows he's not. Have you sort of picked up on any reaction that might reflect that different point of view?
Well, I haven't been in the Boston area, but I've traveled quite a bit around the country because my job takes me around the country. Yeah. And I've spent a lot of time with folks in the industry. What I don't think the Boston folks focus on and folks outside of Boston tend to focus on is the implication of the destruction of a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me that that's if you're talking about trends, that seems to be the number one thing that people cite kind of in a substantive way, and then the fan mentality takes over and people talk about prior events with the team, which I don't think bear much relationship here at all. But I think the phone probably is an issue that outside of New England doesn't get a lot of attention. Gets a lot of attention that it may not get inside of the Boston area.
All right, let's try to fit one more call in here. Quan is calling from Milton. Hi, Quan, you're on the air.
Hello, I am a number one Patriots friend. I am number one Tom Brady's friend, fan, and I went to high school with Tom Brady, Hunanboro Serra High School, in 1995.
Wow.
I believe Tom Brady lied, and that's the only matter to me. I could understand the judge's ruling, but the fact to me is that Tom Brady played this all wrong. All he had to do was come up from the beginning that he did it, and it was a really dumb thing, but it really didn't matter to his game, admitted it. This would have been nothing. But with a straight face, he said he had absolute nothing, zero, to do with this. And that's what bothers me. And to me, this is worse than what Brendan Spikes did with hit and run. But everybody, I think a lot of Patriots fans are blinded by the championship and everything. I am really, 15 years of clean record, I admire Tom Brady because of his integrity. And with this one event, his integrity to me has been all washed out.
All right. Well, I'm not sure if comparing him to Brendan Spikes, who pleaded guilty in July to a hit and run, is the fairest of comparisons. But I hear your passion on your disappointment about Tom Brady. Shira, what do you make of Kwan's concerns there?
I think it's a little bit much. I think he actually, though, may represent perhaps some of the opinions from across the country outside of New England, where they are fervently opposed to Tom Brady, and in New England will be in the Tom Brady bubble. It's a little bit much. We are talking, after all, about deflated footballs, and he did win with properly inflated footballs. I don't think this is a tremendous blow to the integrity of Tom Brady. And if there's anyone whose public image can rebound after this, it's Tom Brady. He's a guy who finds a way on the field, off the field. I think his image will rebound after this.
David Cornwell, final thought from you on this. Do you agree with Shira? I mean, do you think Tom Brady's reputation will rebound after this? Or give us your sort of closing thought on this big story today.
I think it goes beyond rebounding. I think Tom takes a special place in football history because of this. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's been to Super Bowls, but now he took on the league and he won in a very important issue. And this was teed up as Brady versus Commissioner Goodell. So I think you'll probably see his image catapult a little higher. But let's at least be fair to the discussion. This is not a discussion about deflated footballs. This is a discussion about cheating. It doesn't matter whether it's deflated footballs, steroids, or gambling. You can't do something to alter the outcome of the game. That's the league's perspective. Now, whether you agree with it or not is a fair debate, but this isn't about footballs. This is about cheating.
Fair point. So that's David Cornwell. He's an Atlanta sports attorney. He served as legal counsel to the NFL, and he's also represented NFL players. David, thanks so much for joining our conversation today. We've really enjoyed having you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Sure. And Shira Springer, sports reporter with the Boston Globe. Shira, great to have you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, stay with us. Coming up after a safety rating downgrade, should the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station continue to operate? We're going to debate that in a moment. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.